Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news in Raleigh, a murder suspect leads troopers on a high-speed chase. You're looking live at Sky 5 above the scene where this all ended. Coming up, what the number of warrants that troopers say that this man had out for his arrest and where it all started.
A violent night in Durham. Three shootings left two people dead and three others hurt. Police are working to figure out whether these shootings are connected.
And as we start out this morning, it is certainly feeling like fall with temperatures well below where we should be in the mid-60s in some spots. I'll talk about how the Labor Day forecast shapes up coming up.
And this is a live look at Wrightsville Beach this morning. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey will join us live there to tell us what people heading to the beach can expect this holiday weekend after Idalia passed over our coast this week. Today, one of the busiest travel days for a lot of people heading out the door. We'll bring you up to speed. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, with clear skies and smooth sailing for the folks that are getting out now. And it just feels good out there. September 1st, what a change. Anthony Baglione in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at those temperatures.
Yeah, it's like we flipped that switch to fall outside right now. We're sitting mainly in the 50s and 60s, and I saw a lot of people talking on Facebook really happy about this weather, and it's kind of the change here compared to some of the summertime temperatures we've seen. We're at 62 in Raleigh, that's it. 62 in Durham, 54 in Roxborough, 65 in Fayetteville. So it's just that kind of cool, crisp air, and we're going to see temperatures here continue to go up as we head through the weekend, so make sure to soak it up before we get to Labor Day. Otherwise, it feels comfortable. That dew point, our muggy meter, is in the comfortable 58 degree dew points there, so feeling pretty good. We'll see temperatures this afternoon in the low 80s, so not a big change here over the next couple of days. We bump ahead, though, a little bit to Labor Day. We keep the sunshine. We keep no rain chances, so it should be good if you're traveling, but I do think it will feel a little bit hotter. We're at 95 into our Labor Day afternoon. I want to show you here, too, quickly, we have new tropical depression GERT that has just formed. This is 35 mile per hour winds. It is going to stay out to sea. So we'll walk through all of our tropical systems here. Other than this, Brian, coming up here in a few.
Anthony, it's 8:02, new information. This is the live camera at I-40 out at 751. And just behind this camera on the eastbound side of 40, we have a report of a crash there, slowing traffic between the 15501 interchange out towards 751. Not seeing a huge delay at this point, just a 2-minute backup, but still something to keep in mind there. If you can pick up 40 eastbound from 751, you'll be on the other side of those delays. Elsewhere in Durham, a little bit of congestion building on 885 in both directions between I-40 and 147 this morning. But elsewhere, I-40 and I-85 are looking fine. Still tracking delays on the westbound side of the Clayton Bypass, especially between the Cornwallis Road Bridge out toward the I-40 interchange. Allow some extra time, about 10 minutes, to make that whole trip from 42 out to I-40. Just south of Rollsville, still have that crash in the clearing stages on Mitchell Mill Road at Fix-It Shop Road. A crash not too far from 401 on Mitchell Mill Road, right at the Noose Crossing Drive intersection. Looks like some of the delays we were tracking earlier on 401 southbound leaving Rollsville started to ease up a little bit. Over in Cary, a crash at High House Road at Jenks Carpenter Road getting cleared up, but still seeing some pretty heavy delays on that eastbound side of High House Road, leaving 55, heading back toward that Davis Drive intersection. Elsewhere around Raleigh, our major routes are in fairly good shape on the south side of Wake County, but coming in from Wake Forest, we're tracking an 8-minute delay on southbound Capitol Boulevard, heading toward 540.
All right, thank you, Brian. We're following breaking news this morning in Raleigh. We've learned a murder suspect is dead after a shootout with a state trooper. This all happened near the intersection of East and Branch Streets, where multiple law enforcement units have been investigating for almost 7 hours now. Brett Neese is there in the WRAL breaking news tracker. Brett, this happened after a high-speed chase that all started in Johnston County.
That's right, Michelle. It all started in Johnston County at 108 and all ended here in a South Raleigh neighborhood before 1:30. So about 20 minutes is all this took overnight. I want to show you the video from Sky 5. This is live above the scene here at East Street and Branch Street, showing you where this all ended. It did begin with that high-speed chase when a trooper clocked this man driving 101 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone on I-40. And that's when a Johnston County deputy joined that chase, and they followed this driver into Wake County, eventually got off the highway and into the South Raleigh neighborhood. Finally, that driver lost control and ended up in an empty lot here near this intersection. Take a listen to what happened next.
the members, the deputy, and the troopers that were there attempted to make contact with the driver, attempted to take him into custody, and that's when he produced a handgun and fired at the law enforcement officers. They were able to return fire and struck the subject.
This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker of the scene from overnight. It's going on 7 hours now, this investigation. That man was rushed to the hospital to Wake Med, where he died from his injuries. We're working to learn more information about the several warrants that he has out for his arrest, including murder. We're also working to learn his name and how this all unfolded and any more details about why it ended here in this neighborhood. As soon as we learn more from authorities, we'll pass that along. Live in Raleigh, Brittany, WRL News.
Durham police, meantime, are working to learn if a series of shootings in the city that left two people dead and three others hurt are in the hospital right now, and are trying to figure out if those are related. The shootings all happened within a short time of each other during a violent afternoon in the city. Officers responded to a call near Holloway and Breeze Streets just before 5 yesterday. They found a man dead there on the sidewalk from a gunshot wound. And a short time later, nearby North Miami Boulevard, officers responded to a shooting call where they found three people had been shot. One man later died at the hospital. Another man is a male under the age of 18, who was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. Police are still working to make arrests in the shootings. A third shooting happened on Fargo Street just before the others at about 4:30. And a man who was shot there is expected to survive. Police have detained a juvenile suspect. People in Whiteville, which is a Columbus County town, are waiting for floodwaters to recede before they can get really a full picture of the damage left behind by Idalia. This is video from Sky 5 as parts of that town are underwater after the heavy rainfall caused swamps in that area to overflow. Business owners in downtown Whiteville are now facing a lengthy cleanup and repair effort. We spoke with one woman who was planning a grand opening for her business next month, now facing a big setback.
When will I be able to start, just working on things and getting things back to where they need to be?
Emergency responders say they made several water rescues yesterday as people tried to drive through that water.
You and your child can get your blood tested for lead for free in Durham. It comes as the city deals with dangerous lead levels that were found at several parks. Tests are available to anyone between 6 months and 6 years old, as well as pregnant women. The city had professional testing done at its parks, confirming what a Duke student researcher first found, that there were high levels of lead in several parks.
There's just things all over the environment where kids can get small amounts of exposure, and that can add up. It's cumulative. Very low levels lead can cause brain damage.
Testing is available at the Durham Health Department on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 9 to 11 a.m. and 1 to 4 p.m. Buster Murdaugh is speaking out for the first time after his dad was convicted of murdering his mother and brother.
What do you think about that?
I do not believe it was fair.
Up next, his response when asked whether he thinks his father is a psychopath.
And we're following breaking news. A murder suspect is dead after a chase led to a shootout in Raleigh. This is a live look from Sky 5 of that scene right now. We'll have a live report when we return from that scene.
And if you're enjoying those fall-like temperatures right now, make sure to soak them up. We do have some changes on the way for Labor Day with those temperatures back in the mid-90s on Monday and Tuesday. I'll talk about here our forecast at home for that holiday coming up.
Our news continues now here in the WRL Live Center. I want to get back to that breaking news story we've been following in South Raleigh for the last couple of hours, a high-speed chase that ended in a shootout with a suspect and state troopers here in this South Raleigh neighborhood. You're in East and Brant Streets there in South Raleigh. Our photojournalist Jamie Munden is in Sky 5 this morning. And Jamie, set the scene for us, because we just saw video of them pulling the car away that the suspect was driving. But before that happened, there are a whole lot of evidence markers and money being counted on the hood. What can you tell us that happened in the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, Ken, in the last 15 to 20 minutes, they just, within the last 5 minutes, removed the suspect's vehicle from this lot, and also the State Highway Patrol trooper car was also taken out. You can see right now that there's forensic people taking pictures with these evidence markers. We believe that's probably where there's shell casings or bullets from, it sounds like what was a shootout between the suspect and the, at least a trooper in this East Raleigh neighborhood. And they still are using a metal detector to go through this lot and look for pieces of evidence. But it's a, you know, fairly decent little size of a lot right here in the middle of a neighborhood. So I'm sure it was a shocking early morning for some people in this East Raleigh neighborhood about whatever happened when these vehicles came crashing into this lot and then hearing shots being fired.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that was like for those neighbors. Again, on the left side of the screen just now, you were looking at video from overnight when that incident was unfolding. You see it right there. Again, that's video from overnight on the left when the scene was happening. And video on the right is what it looks like now, courtesy of Sky 5. That car, the suspect car and the state trooper car, as Jamie Munn just mentioned, were just pulled away. We know that the suspect who was shot was taken to the hospital. He died of his injuries. The state trooper, we're told, is fine. We're also told that that suspect had a number of warrants out for his arrest. So we've got a number of questions that we're asking state troopers this morning. We'll keep you on the story and keep you updated on air and online and here at the WRL Live Center.
All right, we're going to go ahead and transition here to our weather. We are seeing, thankfully, a much calmer picture than where we were yesterday with Idalia pushing offshore. Thankfully, we have sunshine, blue skies right now. You can even see the flag not necessarily blown around too much as opposed to yesterday. I think these folks have the right idea going outside and enjoying here the beautiful fresh air that we have right now. We are in that comfortable category, our dew point, the muggy meter at 58. And when you get below about 60, you really don't start to feel that humidity. And we're going to be like that here through the entire day. We sit at 62 in Raleigh and Durham, 55 in Roxboro. We've seen those temperatures not budge much, mainly in the mid-50s for our northern counties. All of us, though, will top out, let's say, low 80s for most of this afternoon. It will come with sunshine. It will come with those comfortable temperatures. Really no big deal. It is going to be so nice, too. I'm looking forward to this forecast for Friday Night Football. 83 there at 6 o'clock as you're headed to the games. You can rest easy. Just enjoy yourself. It's going to be a good night. 66 by the time you're headed home. Our beach forecast today, we've been talking about, of course, it's going to be a little bit breezy and it will still have that chance of some high rip currents. So please be careful if you see those red flags out there. Just don't go in the water. Otherwise, maybe just prop yourself on a beach chair, upper 70s, low 80s, read a book. It's going to be a good day for that as well. We talk about our mountain forecast the next couple of days. Here's Boone specifically. We'll call it the Northern Mountains. We're at 72 today. We see those temperatures progressively get warmer, 80 on Sunday, 83 on our Labor Day. Let's talk about the tropics here because, of course, we still have Idalia offshore. We have a newly named system. This is Tropical Depression GERT. We're already to the G name here on the list. 35-mile-per-hour winds. This was named this morning. It's 635 miles right there just to the east-southeast of Bermuda. This one, like another one I'll show you here in just a second, likely to stay out to sea, potentially becoming here a tropical storm briefly over the next day or so and then continuing to fizzle out. We widen the view out, though. There's a lot going on. This is kind of the emphasis, if you will, for our turbulence off of our coast. We have Hurricane Franklin, Idalia, which is now a post-tropical cyclone, we call it, and then Tropical Storm Jose. We now have GERT, that is that red area that has now developed further. We also have this area that's outlined in the orange right there. There are some indications, and you can kind of see if it were to continue that track here back to the west, or let's call it northwest, there could be some further development and potentially getting a little bit closer depending on where that goes. So we'll watch that one closely. That would be at least a week, week and a half or so before that one would be a potential concern at all. Otherwise, rest easy. It's beautiful the next couple of days. 83 for us today, 84 tomorrow, 95 on Labor Day. So it gets hotter with a little bit more humidity. We keep those summertime temperatures into next week. So soak up the fall-like temperatures today, Brian.
All right, 8:16 right now. As we check traffic around the triangle, we're still watching the delays on the westbound side of the Clayton Bypass this morning between Cornwallis Road and I-40. It looks like things are easing up a little bit as traffic volume lightens. Still, give yourself maybe 5 minutes to make that overall trip from 42 out to the I-40 interchange. Also still tracking this crash on the eastern side of Chatham County on the east side of Jordan Lake on 64 eastbound, right around Deer Run. A little bit of a backup there heading toward that 751 intersection as you head into Wake County. In Cary, that earlier crash at High House Road at Jenks Carpenter Road, apparently still an active scene according to Raleigh 911. Sensors still indicating a little bit of an eastbound delay on High House Road coming in from 55. Looks like they may have cleared that crash from Mitchell Mill Road at Fix-It Shop Road south of Rollsville. And elsewhere around the triangle, we're in pretty good shape on our major routes. Let's take a look at 885. We've been watching some delays building there, the usual backups between I-40 out toward 147. Right now, only seeing about a two-minute delay on that northbound side from I-40 up to I-85.
All right, thanks, Brian. You're looking live right now at RDU, where more than a quarter million passengers are expected to pass through for Labor Day weekend. Today is the second big day for travel heading into the weekend. RDU says it's expected to exceed a record that was set back in 2019. And to help you and your family have a smoother trip, the airport says it's increasing the number of guest experience ambassadors who will be working during peak hours. RDU also has a new parking guidance system to help travelers find open spaces quicker. The Labor Day travel rush wraps up on Monday. Well, just one day after Idalia passed over the North Carolina coast, people will head down east for Labor Day weekend. Kelsey Coffey joins us now from Wrightsville Beach. Kelsey, a lot of people heading to the beach. It's beautiful and sunny right now. What can people expect if they're heading that way?
Yes, absolutely. And Anthony mentioned that we were going to have blue skies and sunshine. And as someone that's out in the weather, I can confirm that that is true. Check out what I'm looking at right now, the beautiful ocean. The sun came out around, 3:30 yesterday, and it seemed like as the day went on, the sun just got brighter and brighter. But lifeguards are still warning people about rip current risk in the aftermath of Idalia. Wes Carter with Wrightsville Beach Search and Rescue says with college students coming back to town and tourists enjoying the last few days of summer, they are expecting large crowds this Labor Day weekend.
This is what we live for. This is what we love to do. So just stoked to have everybody here. Wrightsville Beach is a wonderful place, so can't really beat it.
And just a reminder for anyone that's headed out to the beach this weekend, make sure that you check out the flag system before you get in the water. It may not be a safe day to swim. And if you get in the water, always swim near a lifeguard and bring a flotation device. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Wrightsville Beach.
A deputy in Oregon narrowly escaped a wildfire last month. It was all caught on his body camera. Deputy Britton Morgan was called to help with evacuations on August 18th as two different wildfires started to spread. After unsuccessfully trying to convince someone to leave and get out of the way, he got back into his patrol car as the winds began to shift. The road lined with trees there was just a tunnel of flames as he sped down that street. The deputy was able to escape those flames. Thankfully, the man he was trying to convince to leave followed him through that fire, and they both survived.
So scary. Well, for the first time since his brother and mother were killed on their family estate in South Carolina, Buster Murdaugh is speaking out. In a new Fox Nation exclusive, Buster sits down on camera for the first time for an interview. He defended his dad, Alec, who is serving life in prison for the double murder. Murdaugh was at his father's trial every day, taking the stand in his defense. But this was his response in the interview when asked if he thinks his father is a psychopath.
I'm not prepared to sit here and say that it encompasses him as a whole, but certainly I think there are characteristics where you look at the manipulation and the lies and the carrying out of that such, and I think that's a fair assessment.
Alec has gotten into trouble for giving a prison interview for the new documentary. The Corrections Department says his attorney recorded him reading journal entries, which is not allowed. It's not a crime, but Murdaugh has lost phone privileges. In the next half hour, we'll tell you what Buster said when asked about another death associated with the family.
Nostalgia is on the menu at a McDonald's in Brooklyn. The restaurant has been redecorated to look like it's in the year 1982. It's all part of the promotion for the new season of Marvel's Loki, which features time travel as a main plot point.
Messi Mania is leading to the most expensive Major League Soccer match ever this weekend. This is crazy. The average ticket price for the game between Messi's Inter Miami and Los Angeles on Sunday is about $690. That is according to online marketplace TickPick. pick. Messi will play in Charlotte next month, and right now the average ticket price for that game in Bank of America Stadium runs you about $355. Messi mania, my goodness.
Hot ticket.
Yeah.
A woman in Chicago says she can tell people's future by looking at cheese. Chicago resident Jennifer Billick practices the art of tyromancy. It's a fortune-telling through observations about people in cheese. The practice dates back to the Middle Ages, when divination was an accepted practice at that time to predict the future. She says when her clients hear their futures from her, they come away believers.
There are a lot of people who will hear what I'm saying and look at the cheese and be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Billick says studying various aspects of the cheese, like depth, type of mold, and scent, can be helpful in predicting different things.
I'm so intrigued. I mean, I'll eat the cheese. I don't. How?
I don't know what to be. I don't know what to be about this one. I don't know. I'm sure they'd find mold in my cheese future.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? Yeah. It's a talent, I guess. Cool. All right, we now know the public will have access to one of the most high-profile trials in American history, how you can stream former President Trump's Georgia trial. That's next.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We are following some breaking news out of Durham. We've learned that a murder suspect is dead after a shootout with a state trooper. This all happened near the intersection of East and Branch Streets, where multiple law enforcement units have been investigating for almost 7 hours. The WRAL breaking news tracker is on the scene. We will bring you live updates coming up at 8:30 on Fox 50. But let's get over to meteorologist Anthony Baglione. Some really nice weather for today, Anthony.
Yes, beautiful out there right now. We're going to see temperatures continue to stay relatively comfortable for us today and tomorrow. But then we do climb up there. Our Sunday, we're at 90, 95 for Labor Day. Humidity-wise, it will start to get a little bit more noticeable into early next week. But on the whole, if you can get outside this weekend, looking great. We talk about rain chances. None expected if you're traveling the next couple of days. Our next potential chance would be until Wednesday and Thursday night of next week. And even at that, Brian, it looks like a relatively low chance at this point.
Anthony, here at 827, we're getting a look at that minor crash on 40 eastbound just before you get to the 751 interchange in South Durham. You can see it's in the median there. Doesn't look like police have arrived at the scene just yet. If you're coming out of Chapel Hill heading into South Durham, just want to scoot over into those center and right lanes as they get this cleared up. A two-minute delay showing up overall. Most of that is between 15501 out towards 751. Elsewhere around the triangle, watch for a crash on the eastern side of Chatham County on 64 eastbound around Deer Run. Good news, though, in western Johnston County. Those delays on the westbound Clayton bypass have cleared up.
All right, thanks, Brian. Next on Fox 50, what you can expect prices at the gas pump to look like as you head out the door for Labor Day weekend. And next on Today, country star Darius Rucker kicks off Labor Day weekend live on the Plaza.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
State troopers shoot and kill a man in a Raleigh neighborhood. What we've just learned in the last few minutes about the man shot and killed.
Plus, it was a violent night in Durham. Three shootings left two people dead and three others hurt. Police are working to figure out whether these shootings are connected.
And breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center, the ACC voting to expand to the West Coast, what this means for the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And it certainly feels like fall as we head outside this morning. We'll talk about our Labor Day weekend forecast, which does include some hotter temperatures at some point. I'll talk about that coming up.
We're at Wrightsville Beach now, 24 hours after a Dahlia. Coming up, I'll explain how lifeguards are warning beachgoers about rip current risk ahead of the holiday weekend.
We're just sliding into September here on a Friday, September 1st, and we're headed into that holiday weekend as well, getting things kicked off. Everything you need to know. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, getting started with a beautiful Friday, too. I mean, it is just gorgeous out there. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione, I mean, the proof is right behind you. A lot of people out there in Pinehurst today. It's a great day to golf.
Yeah, they got the right idea right now. You walk outside, it's just a breath of fresh air, literally, with those comfortable dew points right now, the fall-like temperatures, if you will, the sunshine. How nice is that, right? After we had Idalia yesterday, the rain, the clouds, everything like that. You can kind of see on this shot right there some of the moisture on the course, and I was watching them kind of clear that off earlier. We had some of that on the cars with those cooler temperatures. It lets that kind of moisture condense, if you will. And that's what we're seeing out there this morning. This says the story, though, comfortable. Dew points, we will keep that through today. Zero issues if you are traveling across our entire region. Should be good to go. We're at 62 in Raleigh, 63 in Goldsboro, 64 Rocky Mount, feeling pretty good, 64 in Clinton as well, and 65 in Fayetteville. If you're headed out today, like I said, no problems heading to the mountains, heading to the beaches, although we do have high rip current, so keep that in mind. Otherwise, we're going to be in the low to mid 80s for us today. Nothing but sunshine, maybe a few light showers, let's say, if you're heading down to the far southern states here, Florida, Georgia, places like that. Otherwise, our beautiful Friday night football forecast, 70 degrees at 9 o'clock. We're talking comfortable temperatures, 68 at 10, 66 degrees as we head later on in the game. Really no issues as far as any rain is concerned. We'll have the sunshine early on, so should be pretty good. We will talk about, though, that Labor Day forecast in detail coming up here in a little bit. I'll show you the hotter temperatures that start to filter into the forecast, as well as a very busy tropical forecast, guys, here in a few minutes.
All right, thanks, Anthony. We're following breaking news this morning. Within the last 2 hours, we've learned that a man is dead after a shootout with a state trooper. This all happened near the intersection of East and Branch Streets, where multiple law enforcement units have been since about 1:30 this morning. Eric Miller is at the scene right now. Eric, we know the name of the man shot and killed by troopers, right?
And Michelle, that name coming in the last 20 minutes. State Highway Patrol revealing it was 20-year-old Jalen Rout who was shot and killed here in a Raleigh neighborhood. They say Rout was wanted on multiple charges, including murder in Cumberland County. Now, of course, troopers weren't aware of that when this chase started earlier this morning. Instead, they say Rout blew past a trooper in Johnston County doing 101 miles per hour in a 70 mile per hour zone. That turned into a multi-agency high-speed chase lasting about 20 minutes as officers chase Rout up I-40 into a Raleigh neighborhood before Rout crashed. Rout ended up crashing here in a field on East Street and Branch Street. State troopers then tried to arrest Rout. Take a listen to what they say happened next.
The members, the deputy, and the troopers that were there attempted to make contact with the driver, attempted to take him into custody. And that's when he produced a handgun and fired at the law enforcement officers. They were able to return fire and struck the subject.
Now, the trooper who shot Rout has been identified as Master Trooper Harrison Nizal. He'll be placed on administrative leave pending an SBI investigation into the shooting. You know, multiple troopers, of course, were here, as well as a Johnston County deputy. We're told they all did fire at Rout, and we are told that all of those law enforcement officers are okay this morning. None of them were injured in this shootout. Michelle?
All right, that is some good news there. Thank you, Eric Miller.
Durham police are working to learn if a series of shootings in the city that left two people dead and three others in the hospital are related. These shootings all happened within a short time of each other during a violent afternoon in the Bull City. Officers responded to a call near Holloway and Bree Streets just before 5 yesterday. There, they found a man dead on the sidewalk from a gunshot wound. A short time later, nearby North Miami Boulevard, officers responding to a shooting call found three people who had been shot. One man later died at the hospital. Another man and a male under 18 were taken to the hospital and are expected to recover. Police are still working to make arrests in those shootings. And a third shooting happened on Fargo Street just before the others at about 4:30. A man who was shot there is expected to survive. Police detained a juvenile suspect in the case.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WREL Live Center. You see the headlines right here. The ACC expanding its geographic footprint to the West Coast. The Atlantic Coast Conference voting just this morning to invite Cal, Stanford, and SMU to join the conference. The addition of these two new schools in Northern California and SMU out of Texas brings the ACC membership to 18 schools, including Notre Dame, which remains a football independent. Now, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips says, this will go a long way in helping the ACC increase in bottom line to really keep pace with the powerful SEC and the Big Ten. This is a developing story with so many layers. We'll continue to track it. Look for new reporting on this story in our new news in, coming up at noon, of course, on WREL. And we'd like to talk to our insider reporter, Brian Murphy, possibly in the next 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that.
It's a big deal. Thank you, Ken. Well, now that Adelia has passed, the focus in Florida returns to recovery. President Biden plans to visit the hardest hit areas tomorrow to get a closer look at some of the damage. Adelia made landfall Wednesday as a Category 3 hurricane, leaving homes and businesses in its path devastated. People who live there are now left working to clean up and rebuild. Some lost everything.
It's devastating and sad. It's very sad.
Heartbreaking.
We're just going to pull together and come together.
And Governor Ron DeSantis is promising funding help for all 25 counties that were under a hurricane warning. President Biden has formally declared Florida a major disaster area.
New this morning, a person is in custody after leading troopers on a chase in Clayton. Highway Patrol says the chase started around 9 last night on Amelia Church Road. Troopers were able to make the arrest without injuries. There is no word on what started the chase or what charges the person may be facing.
NC State got a win in its season-opening football game, but this morning concerns remain for a player who is in a Connecticut hospital. Safety Rakeem Ashford was taken off the field on a backboard after a hit in the third quarter of the game against Connecticut. He had sensation and movement in his extremities. Coach Dave Doran said initial tests on Ashford at the hospital were positive, and he was being held overnight for further evaluation.
I love seeing the thumbs up right there, and the team gets a thumbs up for its first performance. NC State wins 24-14. They have 10 days now before their next game, and that'll be the home opener at Carter-Finley Stadium against Notre Dame. The game kicks off noon Saturday, September 9th.
Coming up on 8:38, we're hearing from the woman who is inside a car that was flipped over by a tornado in South Carolina.
I was up so high in the air. I'm pressing up against my steering wheel.
Coming up, what she says about those terrifying moments and the gratitude she feels to be alive.
And after 3 years, interest on student loans will resume today. What you need to know before payments are required again in just 1 month.
Let's take you out to beautiful Beaufort this morning. Check out those blue skies and the calm water. It is a cool start to the day for many areas. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has your weekend forecast. That's coming up next.
.842 the time right now. We have breaking news to tell you about. The ACC voted this morning to invite Stanford, Cal, and SMU into the conference, dramatically expanding its geographic footprint all the way to the West Coast. This will bring the league's total membership to 18 schools now. WRL's Brian Murphy joins us now via Zoom. Brian, thanks so much for jumping on with us here. This had been rumored for a while. The names kind of interchanged a little bit, but what's your initial reaction to hear now these three solid names have been added?
Well, it's a huge departure for the league, which started in 1953 in Greensboro just with Mid-Atlantic schools, and now it stretches all the way to the Bay Area and Dallas, Texas. This was a move I think the ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips felt they had to make to try to keep up with the Big Ten and the SEC. Adding SMU, Stanford, and Cal will give the league some additional revenue to disperse to its current 15 members. But as you said, it doesn't make a ton of sense geographically. And those are, you know, particularly Stanford and Cal are schools that do not have great football programs.
Yeah, the Atlantic Coast Conference now headed to the West Coast has a funny ring to it. Now, the other schools, you know, there was a Florida school involved in there, University of South Florida, I believe it was, Notre Dame in there. Geographically, those would make a little more sense. Do we know where those fell in this, in all this?
Yeah, of course, Notre Dame is a part-time member of the ACC, and the ACC would love for Notre Dame to join in all sports, but the Irish are keeping their independence in football. You know, adding another Florida school doesn't really help the league. Stanford and Cal, in particular, and SMU, to a certain degree, have great academics, really fit with some of the other private schools that are already in the ACC when you think of Duke and Wake Forest. Plus, the ACC network should get in-state carriage fees from Northern California and Dallas, which are both populous areas. And importantly, all three schools are coming in at a discount. They are not going to take their full television rights from ESPN, from the ACC. That gives the ACC a pot of money to distribute to some of its current members, perhaps through a success initiative plan, perhaps to help defray travel costs. All this really does come down to money.
Yeah, well, as it always does, Brian, you know, and you alluded to it, right off the top of this, with keeping up with some of the other super conferences, that means super TV contracts as well. And as you mentioned, the travel costs involved getting across country with these teams.
Yeah, it's probably not as bad for the current ACC members who may only have to fly out there once a year in every sport. But think about it from Stanford and Cal. They're going to have to come cross-country routinely, and not just football and basketball, but probably many of their other really, really good sports that Stanford and Cal both have. But it made sense for Stanford and Cal because the Pac-12 has imploded. They were in danger of being left out altogether. They would have had to join the Mountain West or the American Athletic Conference conferences that pay much, much less in television rights. They may have had to go independent in football. So for them, the ACC is really a lifeline to remaining in the upper echelon conferences of the NCAA.
And there's plenty more on how it will break up now with 18 teams and whether they'll go to divisions, things like that. Lots more to talk about. But Brian Murphy, thank you so much for the insight here as we get that conversation started. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anthony?
Well, Jeff, we talk about football here in our football forecast back at home, looking beautiful this evening for those high school games, just everything going on. We're talking about lots of sunshine to start off, 68 there by the time the games start to wrap up, 66 at 11, so it should be really nice football weather as well. We take a live look right now. This says the story, right? We talk Lake Gaston here currently. There is a little bit of a breeze out there that's kind of making the water a tiny bit choppy, but otherwise looking pretty good. We have the sunshine, low humidity levels, and that will stay that way as we head into the weekend. 62 is where we sit in Raleigh. It's still one of our cool spots right now in Roxborough at 59. They have struggled to get out of the 50s, and so it feels certainly like fall. We're at 65 there in Clinton and Fayetteville, starting to make that climb here into the low 80s this afternoon. We won't see any issues here if you're traveling. Should be good to go across the entire state. If you're headed to the beaches today, here's that forecast. It will, keep in mind, be breezy, and it will still have that chance of some high rip currents. So not necessarily the greatest day to go in the water, but if you want to just go and walk along the water or just soak up the sunshine, should be good for that. Atlantic Beach there, right about 80, 78 Nag's Head as you get a little bit farther north. There's the mountain forecast. Boone specifically in the northern mountains, mainly in the low to mid 70s the next couple days, low 80s. By Labor Day, should be a good couple of days up there as well. The southern mountains, by the way, are looking at the mid to upper 80s. You can pretty much take that forecast and copy it here as far as the sunshine. We talk about the tropics here. So, of course, there is a lot going on. Idalia moved out yesterday. We still, though, we have Idalia. We have Hurricane Franklin. It's a Category 1 hurricane right now. Tropical Storm Jose. Tropical Depression now, where that red X is showing up. GERT, that's situated right there. We have an area of development right about there. And then there's another area of development in that red that's showing up. What I will say at this point is this one is likely to go to the north, not going to be a big time issue for us. The one we should watch here is this wave that's coming off the coast of Africa. It's going to move into that orange box or that orange polygon as we go over the next week, 2 weeks or so. There are some indications that that one, A, will strengthen potentially significantly, and then where it goes from there, that is yet to be determined. So nothing is set in stone right now at this point. Otherwise, there's post-tropical cyclone Idalia, 60-mile-per-hour winds as it gets closer to Bermuda. Look how beautiful this forecast is, though. Low to mid-80s the next couple of days. Sunshine. We have sunshine on Sunday. On Monday, just take that through the rest of this forecast. Looking pretty good. And then we head into the later parts of next week, potentially an isolated shower, but looking good for the weekend.
Anthony, thanks for that. Just a day after Idalia passed over the North Carolina coast, people will be headed down east for Labor Day weekend. Kelsey Coffey tells us what people can expect if they're headed that way.
Well, if you're headed out to the beach this weekend, you can expect blue skies and sunshine. Check out the water here at Wrightsville Beach. It is absolutely gorgeous, and the sun started to come out yesterday late in the afternoon, and it seemed like the later it got, the sunnier it became. But lifeguards are still warning people about rip current risk in the aftermath of Idalia. Wes Carter with Wrightsville Beach Search and Rescue says with college students coming back to town and tourists enjoying the last few days of summer, lifeguards are expecting large crowds this Labor Day weekend.
This is what we live for. This is what we love to do. So just stoked to have everybody here. Wrightsville Beach is a wonderful place, so can't really beat it.
And just a reminder for the folks that are coming to the beach this weekend, be sure to check the flag system before you get into the water to make sure it's a safe day to swim. When you get in the water, be sure to swim near a lifeguard and always bring a flotation device. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Wrightsville Beach. This weekend, friends and family will say their final goodbyes to Alicia Watts. She's the Moore County woman who was found dead after being missing for months. Watts' service will be held on Sunday at 2 p.m. in Owens Auditorium at Sand Hills Community College in Southern Pines. She'll then be buried at nearby Mount Hope Cemetery. Her boyfriend, James Dunmore, is charged with her murder. He remains behind bars this morning without bond.
For the first time since his mother and brother were murdered, Buster Murdaugh is speaking out on camera. Questions are now swirling around Buster over a different death, the death of his former classmate, Stephen Smith.
I never had anything to do with his murder, and I never had anything to do with him on a physical level of any regard.
Stephen Smith's body was found in 2015 on a road about 15 miles from the family property, where years later, Maggie and Paul Murdaugh were shot and killed. It was initially ruled a hit and run. The case was reopened, though, in the weeks after the double murder. State law enforcement is now investigating Smith's death as a homicide. There were rumors that he and Buster Murdaugh were in a relationship. Murdaugh has not been identified as a suspect and does not face any criminal charges.
Well, this is scary. You may have seen this video circulating online in the past few days. Look at that. It shows a car in South Carolina being whipped around during a tornado on Wednesday. Besides the fact that the driver survived, she's also pregnant. WRAL's Chris Lovingood spoke to her. She says that she's okay and the baby is okay too. Malaysia Smoke says she was driving home from work when her car suddenly started to go in a direction your steering wheel won't take you up.
I felt the car lifting up. It all happened so fast. I was up so high in the air. I'm pressing up against my steering wheel, thinking like this is really happening. I hope I do not die.
That's so terrifying. When the car landed, she crawled out of it because she was concerned that another car would come and hit her flipped car. Smoke, she's 5 months pregnant, said she had an ultrasound at the hospital to check on her baby. The baby is doing just fine.
We have the weather and we have the holiday Labor Day weekend almost here.
It is. And if you plan to stay in town, WRAL's Out and About has some great picks for weekend fun. The 14th annual African American Cultural Festival of Raleigh is happening Saturday and Sunday. WRAL is a proud community partner of this downtown event. There will be live music from local and national talent, plus an African marketplace to shop. Best part, admission is free.
Comedy shows this weekend you can enjoy. D.L. Hughley will be performing at Raleigh Improv tonight through Sunday. America's Got Talent star Preacher Lawson is also in town. He has shows all weekend at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh.
And then on Sunday, Durham Central Park will host a food truck rodeo from noon to 4 p.m. There will be a variety of trucks and drink vendors on hand. You can find out more about these events and others by going to WRAL.com and searching Out and About.
For the first time in 3 years, interest on federal student loans will resume today. Borrowers still have until October 1st before payments are due again. The Biden administration says it will not penalize borrowers who miss payments during the first year. There's also a new income-driven repayment plan known as SAVE. The plan decides on the payment amount based on the person's current income and family size.
Talk about a lucky find. A $4 thrift store painting purchased by a woman in New Hampshire could soon fetch $250,000 or more at auction. The woman says she bought the painting in 2017 with intentions to ditch the art and repurpose the frame. She set it aside and forgot about it, only recently finding it again in her closet. Turns out the painting was an original work by famed Maine artist N.C. Wyeth. It's expected to bring in at least $250,000 when it goes up for sale later this month. Why can't this happen to me? I want to find a $4 painting. That's worth $1 million.
I got some old socks in my closet.
There
Nothing
you go.
Worth that much money, okay? Lottery numbers, and we're back in a moment.